Can you talk also in terms of what was seen there in terms of MRD?
Yep. So with ibrutinib, you don't expect to see minimal residual disease negativity in a few people who are in early lines of therapy. A few years after starting, we sometimes see MRD negativity, but for the most part, there is detectable MRD at almost all time points on ibrutinib monotherapy. With venetoclax-based regimens, there are much higher rates of MRD negativity. And with venetoclax, as opposed to ibrutinib, it's important to get to MRD negativity. So every study with venetoclax alone, with rituximab, and it seems like with obinutuzumab too, patients who are MRD negative do better overall than those who remain MRD positive.
Do we know at this point whether or not it would make sense to utilize MRD in terms of whether or not to continue therapy or not?
So that's a great question, and is really the basis of a lot of trials right now. I think we probably know enough with venetoclax to say that, you know, that could be used as a reason to discontinue treatment. And I'll say sometimes if I have people who are on venetoclax post-ibrutinib, so like a really high-risk patient population, I don't tend to stop treatment in patients who are still MRD positive. So I've usually been adopting the Murano data in that population, which is venetoclax plus rituximab. And that regimen goes for 2 years. However, if I have patients who are doing well at 2 years but are not MRD negative, I usually will continue the venetoclax.
Interesting. Any preference, as long as we brought up MRD, in terms of MRD assay type?
So right now, the standard assay and the one that's like easiest to get clinically is flow-based assays. And so that's where almost all the data comes from, is using like MRD for one cell per 10,000 leukocytes. You can get a lot more sensitive using next-generation sequencing. For CLL, that's not really something that I would advocate just for clinical practice, but is being done as parts of clinical trials and might be useful eventually.